Holy cock and balls.
Holy cock and balls. We just discovered that we're almost halfway to a full year.
A full year.
I guess we could say 6 months.
6 months of podcasting.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. Welcome to the podcast. We're going to start rambling fucking immediately.
So
cheers. To 24.
Good old chats on this good old couch.
24 yamming them yappers and yapping them yams.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started this, we knew it was going to be a lot of work. We knew it was going to be hard. We knew that market was saturated and we weren't sure how it was going to go. We made a pact to each other that we would hit a year before we gave up. Even if we had 5 followers.
Yeah.
We were, I don't know if we would actually.
We
still have 300 followers. Just like,
we just have 5 followers.
We made the pact that we needed to be consistent because that's how these things actually work. So we were going to do a year of podcasting and to see if we were going to get any, you know, following or feedback. Yeah. And we're 6 months in and we're, you know, very happy with the way things have gone. We're definitely not stopping at a year.
Nope.
Cheers to us.
It makes me so happy because I just feel like I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone else. And I've had so much fun, although it has been so much work. And everyone listening, like, we love you guys so much. The support and just the people that reach out to us, it literally means the world, whether you know us in real life or you don't. It's just been a really cool experience to kind of like give our insight on things, you know, despite the hate comments. But fuck them haters.
Just have fun together. Like, we honestly genuinely have so much fun. Like, we get so many comments of, look at you two just capitalizing off your friendship.
Yeah.
Like, we really just do be yapping.
Yeah,
we anyway.
Do be yappers.
Like, we do a full podcast before we even start filming.
It's cool to, like, show the world our friendship, too. But, like, there's depth to this friendship. While we can be silly, crazy, psycho bitches, we can also have, like, a deep conversation.
I also think it's been really amazing, for me at least, and I'm sure for you, too, hearing from people that say we've made an impact on them.
Yeah,
we've changed their life in some way, or we've helped them get out of a shitty relationship. That stuff for me means more than anything, because I feel like one of our gifts to this world could be actually helping people.
Yeah.
Which means so much more than just...
I've always felt like that was something that was in my calling. Like, I used to want to be a clinical therapist because I went through a lot of trauma and, like, a therapist helped me a lot once and I wanted to do that for people, but I just knew that that specific field wasn't necessarily my calling. And then someone the other day asked me, like, do you feel like you need to help people or fix people? And I was like, no, I just like to be that for people. And so getting to do that on this platform has just been a blessing.
And not have to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah. To uneducated motherfuckers.
College dropouts. Yeah. Getting therapy.
We should have called this college drop. Just kidding.
Oh
I
my
like
gosh.
Bad therapy.
I know bad therapy is you, but the college dropouts.
there's probably a podcast with that.
Well,
name.
We get enough hate for being called bad therapy. Like, everyone, the comments are like, the name says it in itself. Can you imagine if we were college dropouts? People would be like,
oh my
these
God.
Dumb, stupid bitches.
Literally. Of course, that's their opinion.
People
it's
in the comments,
always the men.
People in the comments.
It's always the men, by the way. No offense to any men that listen to this. We're not talking about you. No.
Not the ones that listen.
No. Like, you know, I feel like, because I was talking to a guy the other day and I was just like, I fucking hate men. And I was like,
he's like, yes, queen, me too.
No, but I was like, I hope that doesn't offend you when I say that, because, like, you're not the men I'm speaking about. For example, the other day I posted a reel from our last podcast talking about how men don't actually like women. They're just attracted to them. But, like, that's why relationships with them suck, because they don't give a fuck about us. And one of the top comments, and this wasn't even a viral reel, had like 100 views at the time that this man commented this. And he was like, you're right. I've realized this recently. I don't want anything to do with women, but I am attracted to them. But even the sound of their voice annoys me.
Basically, all he wants to do is have sex with them and then lock them in the dungeon.
Like, literally terrifying.
And then he proceeds to call us fat. And then
yeah, I told him that maybe he should give dick a try. And then he told me that maybe I should give diet and exercise a try. Not gonna lie, he kind of ate me up with that one.
Got our ass. Got
then
it.
I blocked him. So who really won?
That's honestly the truth, though. Men that get offended by that comment, like, fuck men suck, are usually the men.
We're the ones that we're talking
about. We're talking
about your... Yeah, like, if the shoe fucking fits, motherfucker.
And I understand it's kind of like a crass statement. Like,
for
fuck
sure.
Men.
For
you
sure.
know
but
what
that's
we
also
mean.
Not what we're fucking ever saying.
No, exactly.
Like, I don't think I've ever sat here and said,
fuck
men. I think I said it like 2 minutes ago.
But honestly, you know what we mean. We're not saying we hate all men. Like, obviously, I love my man, and he knows I'm not talking about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't take any personal offense to that.
Yeah.
So
we ride for our girlies out there, and someone's got to fucking say it. And I'm not afraid to call out every piece of shit man that exists.
I'm not afraid to get called fat on the internet. Let's
I'm
go.
Also also not sorry if it hurts their feelings or yeah, if they get mad at me. I could literally give a fuck. Someone was like, yeah, you deleted my comment. I'm like, sweetheart.
No.
I don't care if you comment or if you choke. Like you.
I saw that. I looked at, I was like looking at our comments and I was like.
Because I don't. Also, yeah. If we were to delete comments, go look at our most recent viral video. Like you think we would have started with that one, right?
No shit. The ones telling us that they're going to come to our house and kill us. Yeah. Hit us with the brick. Yeah. So try me next time.
Anyways, sorry for our little rant here.
Hey, welcome to the Rambling Cast.
Hey, you know, when we first started this podcast, we used to ramble for the whole podcast, yeah. But now we've got it dialed down to like at least the first 10 minutes.
At least we hone it in. And yeah. It's honestly, when I watch these, when we're both editing together.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I kind of laugh at the beginning because it's just like, we usually start like singing or cussing. What do we say today? Cock? I don't know, something.
Oh yeah, we did start with a song about cock, I think. Yeah.
A song about cock.
No, for sure. The beginning is definitely my favorite to edit and watch back just because it's like our friendship. I wonder if anyone else finds us funny or if it's just.
Or if they like skip over the intro because they're like.
Or I could imagine someone like coming to listen to our pod. It's like about a deep, dark topic or like they're looking for some advice.
The caption's like how to get out of your toxic relationship.
Yeah. And then the first like 10 minutes is us just la, singing la, to la, each other.
La la cocks, yeah. Cocks, la la. Like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyways, if you are that person that first came to our pod, listened to the first 10 minutes, thought, what the fuck am I listening to? And you stayed. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Rant's over. Let's get into it.
Okay. So this pod, because we've noticed, so we do a lot of relationship topics, but another thing that you guys really like from us is our manifestation topics. But we love this stuff too. That's why we talk about it. And I think that's how we found people that want to watch our pod and that we connect with and that connect with us because we have the same, like, what, ideologies in life? The same view on things.
Absolutely. That's, I mean, birds of a feather.
Flock together.
And tonight is a spooky little full moon. Mm-hmm. We're feeling the energy.
Yep.
The full moon just makes you feel a certain way. Like you can just feel the electricity from the full moon.
It really does. I be feeling a little freaky.
I don't think you're the only one. The moon, I think that's when people out. Do like their crazy rituals
so,
and stuff.
Okay, so we'll just get right into it. If you guys didn't catch the drift, this is going to be a witchy pod. Since everyone wants to call us witches for talking about manifestation, we'll just call it the witchy pod, aka manifestation, full moon, law of attraction, etc. So speaking of how the full moon makes us feel a certain way, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that think it's a bunch of BS. And obviously, if you were to Google it right now, they'll say that there's no real research that proves that. But here's my theory, okay? If you think about it, whenever there's a full moon, all of the tides rise from the ocean. Do you know how powerful something has to be to make the tides of the ocean rise?
To literally change the currents on the earth is like what, 75% water? Yeah. To be able to move that much water.
Powerful.
Insane.
Yeah. And our human bodies are made up of like what, 80% water or something crazy? Like a super high percentage of just filled with water. We're just little fucking water bottles.
My fucking wet brain, that makes sense.
Yeah, wet brain, water bottle. It adds up. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, right? If the moon moves the ocean, like it has to have some sort of effect on us.
I mean, you have to be crazy to not think that it doesn't have any effect.
Any effect. That's also with astrology really quickly. Like people think astrology is BS. Okay, I understand thinking maybe like horoscopes because they're so generic. Where is it coming from? Who created that horoscope?
There's not like a lot of actual genuine information behind it.
If you actually look into astrology and what it is, it has to do with where every planet was when you were born.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that everything in the universe has an effect, a direct effect on you and everything around it, then you're literally missing the whole fucking plot of life.
Why the fuck else would we be here? We're literally made of stardust.
We are a part of this thing called the universe. So if the universe is doing something, then we are also, in fact,
doing something.
Yeah. Being manipulated by the universe. Like, for example, something that I always notice when there's a full moon is I don't sleep very well. I feel very, it's hard to explain. Sometimes I can't fall asleep or I just don't get a good night's sleep.
Or you have really weird dreams.
Yeah.
Exotic, like not normal nightmares, but like
for sure
funky.
For me, like today I woke up feeling so exhausted. Anyone at my job can vouch for this. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like I slept for a full like 6, 7, 8 hours. I slept for 3 hours. Why am I tired? I slept for a good 7 or 8 hours last night, but I woke up so exhausted, like as if I did not get a good night's
like
sleep.
Like the frequency of the fucking moon is affecting your REM, which I know it sounds
that did
stupid.
Sound a little crazy.
The frequency of the moon.
But I swear there's got to be some validity to it because it happens every month. And the only reason that I know this is not because I'm like a you know, diehard believer in this, but because it always, I feel like there's a pattern with my sleep and how I feel and nights that I can't sleep. And whenever it's like approaching the full moon or the full moon, I'm like wired for some reason.
Well, and here's just like a correlation that isn't biased because I didn't ask. My partner told me he slept like shit last night. My sister told me she had nightmares and slept like shit last night. And then on top of it, my dad calls me. He's like, I'm just tired. Like, I just didn't sleep very well last night. I personally slept like shit last night. Mm-hmm. There's no way that that many people are having the same experience.
And just to go a little deeper into this conspiracy theory that I have, it's not a conspiracy, but it is my theory. So in tarot, if anyone's ever had their tarot cards read, in tarot, there are four different elements. One is cups, which stands for water, and water stands for emotions. Also, the moon is considered a feminine entity and the sun is masculine. So if you think about it, if the moon is affecting the water, which is emotion, and the moon is feminine, which also is emotion, and you're full of water and you tend to be more emotional when there's a full moon. Emotional, it could be in a negative way or in like a, you have a lot of pent up energy.
Well, you hear people, that's like a common like worldwide saying is, oh, there must be a full moon out tonight.
Literally.
The crazies are acting crazy.
And you know what's funny is we can deny these things, but it's the same thing with ghosts. And this is like slightly off topic, but it does relate. Why would so many people have similar experiences with these things? You think everyone's making it up and everyone's lying?
Well, I think there's a lot of different levels of people. Like you, for example, are very spiritual. You've always been into horoscope and tarot, and you've always felt a lot more like high spiritual frequencies than, for example, me, somebody who, you know, doesn't really understand it. But even I can feel like the full moon, feel the energy, feel the sleep, like just feel the emotions, feel differently.
It's almost like a period cycle. I don't know why I have all these like analogies or like things that I'm relating this to right now. But when you start paying attention to what time of the month it is and when your cycle, like where you are in your cycle, you can start to pinpoint certain emotions for certain weeks rather than just being like, oh, I just feel tired today for no reason. You're able to say, oh, this is actually like my luteal phase or whatever
right.
the case may be. Well, I feel like that's with a full moon. If you actually pay attention, it's a full moon. How do I feel? How did I sleep last night? How am I sleeping tonight? Then you actually create a pattern because you're able to like recognize that it happens over and over again.
Well, and I think the thing about this society that we live in these days is we've been so drowned out by so many other things that kind of make us completely forget like our connection to the earth, to the moon, to the sky, to the way the universe rotates, literally. Yeah. We're so focused on our jobs and our phones and our whatever that we're not connected. And I think there's a lot of people that like to call it like hoity-toity, witchy, hokey pokey, because they're looking at the certain people that are like rubbing period blood on their face and like doing swamp rituals. And like, good for them. I'm not talking shit about them. It's a little extreme for most people, especially in this modern day society. But even for the people that are the very blue collar Republican, like let's call them the people who would scoff at this. If they took a second to like ground themselves and really pay attention to how they felt through the moon cycles,
they would be able to draw parallels
and actually like create a correlation over months and months and months. Yeah. But people don't do that.
Yeah. It's like, it's literally like tracking data. And the only reason that I feel so strongly about my insight on this is because I've been paying attention to this for years now. Of course, like,
yeah, you've always been into it.
Yeah, I've always been into it, but I was into it because the first time I heard it, I felt, and yes, maybe it's because I've always been a little bit more connected. The first time I heard about this being a thing, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense to me. And then the more I learned about it, the more I paid attention to it, the more I was like, how does nobody else see it this way? And granted, you know, just like everyone has different sensitivity levels, I'm a very sensitive person, like to the point where, you know, they say like psychic people are a little bit more sensitive.
It's like
certain
a sixth
things.
Sense. Yeah.
You're just more sensitive to the world around you, AKA different dimensions, different things, like whatever it may be. I feel like I was kind of given that sensitivity in life in every aspect. Like I'm just a sensitive person. And I feel like maybe I feel those changes and those shifts more strongly than maybe someone that's not so sensitive to those things.
Absolutely.
Like,
you're not connected to it.
Yeah, not be so connected. Like I didn't ask to be connected to it. It's just the way that it was.
Well, and that's the thing is like, it's all on a spectrum. Same thing with religion. There's people that say they've seen Jesus in front of them. There's people who have supposedly meditated into a new dimension.
Yeah.
And there's people who just go to church on Sunday and praise the Lord. Like there's different levels. I think we're born with different levels of spirituality, but I also think that you can dive deeper into different levels of spirituality.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, even though I was born connected to everything and being more sensitive, I also feel like I actively practice diving into that connection and trying to like build on that because it's something that interests me. It's something I think is beautiful and it's something that I think gives life like purpose.
Something that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Well, and it's
it makes life make sense in a way because you feel like there's a reason
a
for
point
things
or and a purpose.
Rhyme. Yeah, a rhyme and a reason.
And like, it's funny because a lot of the hate we get in regards to manifestation comes from people who are very religious and they say that it's witchcraft and that we're Satan worshipers and we're going to hell and like a bunch of really violent violent stuff.
Yeah.
Which is so funny to me coming from people who are religious, mm-hmm. because there's no proof
that God exists. Yeah.
There's no proof that what they believe in exists any more than what we believe in.
Right.
Or that manifesting is evil. Manifesting is praying.
Yeah.
Manifesting is...
So that's my, like, not sorry to cut you off, but like literally the people in our comments will say that's prayer. You're talking to the Lord. Like, okay, that's how you view
that's
it.
That's your version of
that's
it.
That's how you view it. That does not change what it is. What it is projecting out your energy and your thoughts and your mind into the atmosphere for whatever you believe is picking it up. Like someone that's manifesting might believe that it's the universe because it's all connected, is picking up a vibration or an energy that's like literally the CIA released a document talking about manifestation and how it works. And this is exactly how it works. Changes the molecular makeup of the energy around you, which in turn literally changes the way things are in your life. If you believe something enough, because you're releasing that energy, that frequency, and everything has a vibration. Like it's not just some, what'd you call it? Hocus pocus.
Hoity-toity hocus pocus.
Hoity-toity shit. Yeah. Like everything has a vibration. It's physics. Everything has a vibration that it lives at.
I mean, it's the law of attraction.
You can change the direction of your entire life by using the law of attraction. The law of attraction is essentially a philosophy that says positive thoughts create positive results, and on the reverse, negative thoughts create negative results. So in practice and in your actual life, the more negativity you're putting out, the more negativity you're attracting. And in order to make that shift within yourself and in your life, even if you have to lie to yourself on a really bad day, or if you don't believe it, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I am that bitch, or whatever it may be. Like you are drawing in that positivity, even when you don't feel it, because that's how you're going to attract it back.
Well, and that's how you can kind of train yourself, because the notion is that it's impossible to have completely empty space in your brain, and your brain is like a vacuum. So if you're trying to push out negative thoughts, but you're creating a negative energy around you, your brain's going to suck in that negativity, and you're not going to be able to create a new space for yourself where the law of attraction is going to work in your favor, because your entire energy is negative and your brain's going to suck in all that negativity. Or if you can switch the narrative around to it's positive, even if you don't really believe it or you don't really think it, but you are creating positive frequencies, creating positive scenarios in your head that don't even exist, expecting a positive outcome, your brain is naturally going to suck in that positive energy and create that positive life around you.
It's just like if you wake up in the morning and say, today sucks, today's a bad day, like you're most likely going to have a bad day because that's the energy you're putting out into the world. Whereas if you wake up, even if you are having the worst day of your life, if you're going through a breakup, if like something horrible had just happened to you and you look yourself in the mirror, you say out loud, this is going to be a good day, today's a good day, you are statistically more likely to have a good day.
And I feel like people doubt that. They're like, there's no way you can speak that into existence. Like if bad shit's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. You're sucking in the negative vacuum right there.
And that's exactly our point. With that attitude, hell yeah, bad shit's gonna happen.
The law of attraction, you're attracting negativity.
And you know what? Bad shit is always gonna happen, but there's always a vessel that you can create for yourself to attract more positivity than negativity. And if you don't believe that, then I hope you enjoy living a negative life, because that's all that you're doing for yourself.
Well, and it's funny because glass half full, glass half empty. I've always kind of seen myself as like not glass half empty person, but like the glass doesn't half full either. Mm-hmm. Like I've traditionally been a more pessimistic, more, I guess I would say
skeptical,
more realistic person. Cause there's a lot of people that are like, let's be realistic here. You can't just sunshine and rainbows your way through life. But being negative has never gotten me anything besides negative results. Mm-hmm. And when I really started to train myself to say, you need to be positive, you need to speak more positively, better things started to happen to me. And I still do it. I still have times where I say something negative and I usually get checked. Allie's like, you negative ass bitch.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, well, not with that attitude. Yeah. That's my favorite thing to say to people when they say something negative, or when they're doubting themselves, or when they're doubting a situation or a certain outcome. I literally just look at them. I'm like, well, yeah, not with that attitude. Like nothing good is going to happen with a bad attitude. And I will say too, on top of all of this, your thoughts create your reality. Like your mind is literally how you perceive life. So even if things aren't changing immediately right around you, if you start to tell yourself, bitch, lie to yourself, I am happy, I am amazing, I am rich, I am this, whatever it may be that makes you feel better, or the things that you want to be real, the positivity that you want in your life, switch your mindset around to make that your reality, because you create your reality by what you think.
Absolutely. And it's a lot easier said than done coming from a person who's pessimistic. It's a lot easier said than done because your first innate reaction is to be negative. Or for me, it came from trauma, just expecting the worst. Basically, the worst thing's gonna happen. That's almost like a way to protect yourself because you're like, if I expect the worst, then I can't get hurt. Mm-hmm. But you're actually kind of creating the worst.
Manifesting bad things to happen.
Well, and that comes full circle to manifestation, right? Law of attraction, manifestation. It all goes hand in hand with the life you want to create for yourself and how you can actually tangibly do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what manifestation is.
For example, have you ever heard of that rice experiment that was done? I forget who did the rice experiment. If I could remember, I would credit them. them, but I think some scientist along the way somewhere, I think
they're watching this and they're like, fuck you.
I don't remember the exact scenario or who this was or what environment this was created upon, but there was an experiment done on three different jars of rice. Okay. And one jar of rice, they didn't say anything to it. The second jar of rice, they told the jar of rice, you're so beautiful. You're amazing. You're hot. You got a big, thick booty. Like,
can you imagine being the scientist talking to the jar of rice?
Like, they were just gassing up that jar of rice. And then the third jar of rice, they were like, you're ugly. You smell bad. You're stupid. F you. Like, just all the bad vibes.
This is exactly how it went down in the scientific experiment.
And dead ass, if anyone doesn't believe me, you can look it up. The rice experiment. I think that you can look that up and it will pop up. I don't know what it was called. I think that you're in a pretty good starting point if that's what you look up. Anyways, the rice that was not spoken to rotted at a normal rate. The rice that was told, I love yous and you're amazing and you're beautiful, was in pristine condition. And then the rice that was told, like, go fuck yourself, basically, was absolutely rotted mulch, all in the same time frame.
That's so unbelievable. And like the same outerlying factors, like they had the same air, the same whatever, yep, they put them in.
Same everything, except for the words and the energy.
And that's unbelievable, because there's so many people that would say that's impossible. If they all had the same conditions, the same chance to grow, someone speaking energy to them shouldn't change anything. Mm-hmm. But it changes everything.
And it just goes to prove everything we are talking about right now is true. The way you talk to yourself, the way you treat yourself, the way you treat others, the energy that you bring around yourself is so important to the outcome of your own life. Like, it literally, and this ties back into what we were talking about in the beginning of this podcast, where we say everything's connected and the universe is all one, and we are one with each other and with the universe, because we can change our environment strictly by believing something or strictly by spewing an energy into the world.
I think there's a lot of people that don't have a spiritual connection or a religious connection that feel like there's no point to anything. Nothing matters. Nothing they do matters. Nothing they say matters. And it kind of gives them a bleak existence and almost like no moral backbone for how they should act or what they should do. And I think that's what manifestation, religion, all of this stuff is kind of brought into a spiritual culture, is that there's a reason that you have to do the right thing or say the right thing or be positive. There's something to answer to, whether that be God or heaven or just the life that you create for yourself.
Yeah.
Being a negative, bad person, doing the wrong thing, making the wrong decisions, even though you know they're wrong, just because you think there's no one to answer to, it will affect everything in your life.
Right. Because I'm not saying you guys have to answer if you don't believe in anything or if you don't believe there's an afterlife or that there's any point or purpose to this life. I implore you, if this is you listening, thinking that nothing is real, I implore you to continue living the way you live and ask yourself if you're happy. Ask yourself if things are going your way. Ask yourself if bad things happen often. Ask yourself if bad people enter your life often. Ask yourself if you deal with adversity often, because maybe that has something to do with you and how you are viewing life and how you are reacting to things and the energy that you're putting out into your own life.
Well, and that's exactly it, because you can't tell everyone they have to answer to their creator, mm-hmm, or they're going to hell. There's people that don't believe that. And
which I don't care what you believe, but you have to at least take note of like what is actually happening around you.
Right. So maybe you don't want to believe in heaven. Maybe you don't want to believe in God.
And you don't have to.
Maybe you don't think there's anyone to answer to. That's totally fine.
But you can still have a good existence on this earth by simply just shifting your mindset.
What life have you created for yourself, yeah, with the mindset that you have currently? Because that's your living hell or heaven.
Yeah.
Fucking who cares?
Absolutely.
If you don't want
to. Who cares what happens after this life? Let's live like right now with what's happening right in front of our face.
And live that way, not because you're trying to get into heaven.
Right.
But because you want to have a good life. You want to be a good person. Mm-hmm. Not because you think I have to do certain things or say certain things in order to go to the holy gates.
Yeah. Because if anything, I feel like that deserves a straight trip down to hell.
Right. And like, granted, if you're someone who's like a sociopathic killer at heart and you choose to not do that because you think you want to get into heaven, by all means, ride with that. We're not telling you to change, but that shouldn't be your only reason for being spiritual or having manifestations. Like, it should be to create the life around you that, yeah, you want to live, a life, yeah, that's worth living. So this is the key to manifesting exactly what you want. You have to be specific, because manifestation is subjective and the universe doesn't know what you want unless you tell it exactly what you want. So for example, you could be manifesting money. You want money. Money comes to you easily. You get paid to exist and you get that money, but it comes in the form of someone in your family dying and you inheriting that money from them. So you have the money, but now you're dealing with the loss of somebody in your family. Whereas if you were specific with the universe, and this kind of goes hand in hand with putting the work in that it takes to make manifestation work, I get paid to exist because I work so hard for it, or this specific business deal is going to work out for me. These contracts are going to come to me easily. I'm going to get 10 million views on my podcast.
I'm going to get a raise at work. Whatever. I'm going to win the lottery. Like, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever specific item that you have to say to make that money come into your life, the universe will listen to you, and maybe it won't be in that exact form,
but at least it won't be at the cost of you losing a family member or something worse.
Exactly. Probably. Like some avenue along those lines. And I think,
or something worse. What's worse than losing?
Or something along those lines. And I think that works in any aspect of manifestation, whether that be health, wealth, happiness, love, abundance, because those are the things that I manifest. And I think everyone should manifest daily, but you have to be specific with where those things are coming from, or your life can get turned upside down and you're like, what the fuck? I've been manifesting.
Yes. And I've actually heard this before. And they say that a good way to manifest anything that you want is to get a journal and jot down the most specific outline of what you want your life to look like as if you're talking in first person, like it already exists, and in the form of gratitude. I am so grateful for this giant house that I live in with this brand new big car, from the paycheck I got from work, from the raise that I got from working so hard over
in
the
present
last
tense.
Year. Yep. I'm so in love with the person that I'm with. He treats me so well. He's got brown eyes, brown hair, is a musician, whatever the case may be. Like, you just have to be very specific. There is no detail that is too specific when it comes to manifesting. You may not get exactly what you want, but at least you're not leaving any room for error.
Absolutely. Like, be as specific as you possibly can be. Now, don't expect that just cookie cutter Prince Charming is going to come out of the printer. But for example, you could manifest, I'm going to fall in love this year.
But you could fall in love with the most toxic
fucking trash. You end up with a trash fucking relationship. You were in love, but it wasn't a good one. And this is, a lot of people have a negative connotation towards manifestation because they're like, you can't just say something and it happens.
And expect it to happen. Well, here's the other side of it too. When you do manifest something, you can't expect it to happen right away. You have to be patient, because you might manifest and do every step exactly perfectly, and like, say you're manifesting love, and then the next person you meet sucks and you're like, this isn't what I fucking asked for, like literally at all. But
at all,
that might just be a lesson or a test from
one
the universe
step closer
before it gives you, because usually what's gonna happen is the universe is gonna test you. It's gonna send you on a journey where you have to make a decision, and if you make the right decision, then you will be rewarded. For example, earlier this year, when I had a really good job that I worked at and a really good job that I was being offered, and I had to pick from one, and it was really hard, but my gut and my mind was telling me to take the scary route. But like, that was a test from the universe. Are you ready for this amount of wealth? Are you ready for this success? Are you ready for this new chapter of your life?
And the challenge. Yeah.
Or are you going to stay put where you're comfortable?
Well, and everything else in your body fought you on it, but like, your gut, the universe told you what to do.
Because I knew that I had taken the comfortable route my entire life. And although I was happy or content, I will say, I knew it wasn't leading anywhere. And that was the shift that the universe was testing me on. Or also with the last relationship that I was in, I have manifested the exact person that I want and what their characteristics are going to be like,
how they're going to treat you,
how they're going to treat me, and exactly what I'm looking for. And the next two people I met after doing that were not that. Here's the kicker, and here's why I believe in this, is because the first guy that I met after that, I let him play me like a fiddle.
Yeah.
And I didn't
allowed it.
Yeah. I allowed it. I did not learn my lesson. The next guy I met, I let him play me for a little while. I let him not care about me. I let him treat me like shit. And then finally I said, I've had enough of this. This is not what I want for myself. And I walked away, which was something that was very new for me, because I'm just the type of person that's going to give everyone a million chances, especially in that arena, because, you know, I see the best in people. I'm a lover girl.
And if
whatever
you kept doing
fuck.
That, you would have kept having the same result
over and over.
But I
ended that shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like the universe is slowly rewarding me for that as well. So with exactly what I've been manifesting. So.
Well, and that's exactly it. I saw a comment actually that was like, what's the incubation period on this manifestation shit? Because like,
it's not an instant gratification thing
at all.
That's what you're hoping
for. And you have to do it every day, because law of attraction,
it's a lifestyle.
It becomes your life. It's not just, oh, you wished on it one time and it happens. It's not that fucking simple.
Yeah. Oh, I put one positive thought out and now I'm expecting to get positivity. No, it's training yourself to be more positive, because that will innately bring positivity
all of the time
to you. All of the time.
It's like the Oregon Trail. Did you ever play the Oregon Trail?
Literally, yes. Why the fuck are you bringing this up right now?
Because it reminds me of the Oregon Trail was first off violent. Remember, you'd be like, rattlesnake in the road, you're dead. But like, there was different branches you could take, and you could like learn your lesson. Like, you got diphtheria. Do you continue on?
That
or, like,
is a see very the- funny analogy. That you just unlocked a core memory.
Core memory. You know, you're in the wagon.
The trauma.
You're going down the
school.
Oregon Trail. There's a rattlesnake on the left and diphtheria on the right. Well, you already beat diphtheria. You can't beat diphtheria twice. So it's like, are you going to learn your lesson? Do you try the new avenue? This is so random.
Everyone listening that's never played this game is like, hey, yeah.
I feel like most people in our generation played the Oregon Trail now.
Or is that just like in our town?
No.
No?
No, no, no. That's like countrywide. They made you play that shit at school. Mm. For sure.
All right. Anyone in America probably knows it then.
America. Yeah. Everyone in the other country is like, what the fuck is the Oregon Trail?
What is the Oregon Trail?
It was a game where you basically died a lot and had to make decisions to not die.
Because the Oregon Trail is like a historical event.
Yeah. It was violent and manifestation. If they would have manifested, they would have made it through the Oregon Trail a little faster, basically, is what I'm saying. No. No, the point to that was that the decisions that you make repetitively will affect your future.
Yeah.
And then those decisions will become a little bit easier if you made a better decision before.
And just like some people may say, like, oh, it's God making these decisions. You can believe that, or you can believe that it's the universe. I literally don't care what you believe or who you believe it comes from or who you believe listens or what you believe. I do not give a fuck. And you shouldn't care what other people believe either.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, it is all grounds of the same tree.
The grounds of the same tree.
I don't know where I was
the
going.
The Oregon
with that.
Trail and the grounds of the same tree. Two girls making a podcast.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all the same shit at the end of the day. It all has the same meaning. It all has the same end goal. It's all just to be a better person, to live a better life, to be happy. That's literally all it is.
We all want the same shit, right? Yeah. Like, let's not act like there's anyone out there. Well, there's some masochists, but people want a happy, healthy, respectable life. Mm-hmm. Respectable?
Well, I definitely didn't want that.
I like shaking my ass.
Yeah.
Like, people want a happy, healthy life, and you can create that for yourself no matter the circumstances. And I know that there's people that come from really shitty circumstances, and there's people that come from the best of circumstances you can imagine. And even those trust fund kids who had it all end up in prison, and even those children who grew up on the streets with nothing can end up the president of the United States. It's all about the life that you create for yourself.
Yeah, period. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, because like something that's a pet peeve of mine is when people blame their circumstances on their outcome. Like, you obviously, some people have it much harder and getting to where they want to be is harder, but that doesn't mean that you can't do it, you know? Like, that doesn't mean that you can't make the choice at some point to create a different path for yourself. I'm not saying that it'll be easy or that you don't have struggle. Like, I'm not discrediting anyone's struggle, but to live in a state of pity,
it's a victim mindset.
Like, yeah, like as if anyone owes you anything because of what you've been through. Everyone's been through things, obviously at different levels, but everyone also, for the most part, right? Like, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth here.
There is certain circumstances, but we're talking the general pop.
For the most part, at a certain point in your life, you get to choose whether or not you want more for yourself or whether or not you want to continue to play the pity card and sulk and just blame everything else around you for what your life looks like. And I was there at one point because I
had been there.
I had the biggest victim mindset. I haven't even been through that much because I wasn't achieving the things that I always thought I was capable of. So I blamed my upbringing my surroundings, but never once was I able to really confront myself
in the mirror,
what I was doing. Cause it's not an easy thing to do, but like, it's seriously terrible. I think we had a podcast a while ago talking about like accountability and stuff. Once you're able to take accountability and really just face your own demons, whether it's like a demon or something that you're not proud of within yourself, and acknowledge that that exists instead of trying to lie to yourself that it's not there and then make a change, that is where the most growth comes from. And I think that the first step is truly by being more positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And positivity.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be for real. There comes a point in every person's life, no matter what they've been through, where you have to stop blaming the people who raised you or the people around you for your life.
Yeah.
We all get to a point in our trauma where it's like, you cannot blame it anymore because you're an adult. You're your whole ass own person. You have to take accountability for your own life.
That sucks what happened to you. And I'm so sorry. And I know that sounds...
It sounds insensitive, but that's not the way we mean it.
No, I mean I mean that genuinely. Like, that fucking sucks whatever happened to you. And I'm sorry that happened to you. And I wish that it didn't. But there's nothing you can do to change that at this point. The only thing you can do is change from here on out.
I specifically went through this when it came to alcoholism because that's what I grew up around. Everyone was an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic.
I was an alcoholic.
You were an alcoholic. And I blamed my behavior, which my behavior with alcohol was out of control. I just acted a fool, honestly. I blamed that on my upbringing. And that was the only person I was ever capable of being because I was so tunnel vision centered on the fact that I had no control over it. It wasn't my fault. It's the way I was raised. It's the way
I was.
It's
all you've ever always, known.
It's, yeah. And it's all I would ever know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my fault. They raised me like this. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a circumstance that some people can relate to, but I think there's some circumstances from people that come from really fucking terrible, fucked up situations where they're
where
around.
It must be really easy to just lie back and say, these were the cards I was dealt.
Yeah. I mean, people that, kids that grow up on the street around gang, rape, murder,
drugs.
Pillaging, drugs. Like, there's no rules in some of these places. And it's like, how could you expect someone to get out of that, to even know any different, right? Because you're raised, you learn
it's
things.
It's like, you could become accustomed to it.
Yeah.
It's
but like you hear about it all the time. Kids coming off the street and being, you know, I just was at a graduation this weekend and the main cardiac surgeon has saved thousands of lives. His research was historical and the innovation of cardiac surgery. And he literally grew up on the streets. He grew up with nothing.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of the people that I see, honestly, the most successful people sometimes have been through the most because they know that life isn't easy and they've never had a damn thing handed to them. And so they work their ass off and they're grateful for what they have, no matter how small it is, because they've never had that. And I think that there's something to take from that, because we've talked about this before, but like, it's so easy to not be grateful for the littlest things or to find problems in the smallest things, when at the end of the day, like, there's so much to be grateful for.
Well, and that's exactly it, because people from really good circumstances can turn out really, really bad. People who never had trauma or never had a backbone.
Which is why we always say, like, we don't have much in common with people that have never been through shit, because they, like, the smallest, most insignificant thing happens to them and they think it's the end of the world. Like, the sky is falling.
Well, and they don't really see the difference between right and wrong. Like, they don't have a moral compass, really, yeah. That I've noticed. People that have really been through nothing and been privileged their entire lives, there is no morality in the decisions that they make. They're very selfish people.
Yes.
And this is where, like, obviously rapists and serial killers come from all walks of life, but you right. see a lot more, like, affluent rapists, serial killers. And just obviously kind of a little bit off topic, but I was thinking about this. I've had this thought in my head since I was a kid, and I know I can't be the only one. I feel like all the bad men on earth, the rapists, the killers, I mean, like, I'm talking the really bad men, the people who are not redeemable.
Pedophiles.
They take up a lot of room in the jails. They take up a lot of the taxpayers' monies.
Yes.
Monies. I'm probably going to get fucking canceled for this, but I think it's fucked up. There's people that are never going to get out, that have done irredeemable, terrible things, that don't want to get better, right? They're not doing anything to try and better their lives. So my theory as a kid was that we buy an island. The United States buys an island out in the middle of nowhere. And there's no way you can get off it. You couldn't swim to it. You couldn't build a boat. There is no escape. And we put all the really, really bad people on that island and we let them fend for themselves.
Okay. A couple thoughts on this, because first, initially I love the thought. Okay. However, what if they build a whole civilization? Well, I guess then they could just start killing and raping each other.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're going to build a civilization. Mm. They're going to build houses.
And they could just live with themselves.
They're going to pillage food. They're going to survive.
And each other.
And it's going to be a violent, I mean, it's going to be a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Okay.
So you know that your penalty for doing something unforgivable, raping a child,
is going to fucking murder
island. You're going to murder island. And there's people that have been there.
And you don't want to go to murder island.
I mean, there's established clans that have been there for 20 years.
And you're going to be the newbie on murder island? I think the fuck not.
You get dumped on murder island with a tattoo across your chest what you did. And the pedophiles, I can tell you, they're the first ones to get eaten, because obviously they're going to be eating people out there. This is sounding fucking terrible. But people are going to form clans, and there's going to be, like, generational clans out there.
Dude, you're so right. Like, they're gonna have their cliques.
Absolutely.
Their clans.
The murderers who were, like, gangbanging murderers who killed hundreds of people but, like, would never touch a child.
The pedophiles would be the ones they gangbang.
Absolutely. Like, basically what you did is gonna happen to you a trillion times over, except the taxpayers don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. And also, if you starve to death.
I don't think you're gonna starve to death.
God, well,
you're gonna get dropped off and get an arrow in the chest, like, immediately.
Well, that's morbid as fuck, but, like, honestly, I think it's crazy that we even house people that do, like, I'm talking really bad shit.
Well, you know, this is a conversation, really extremely off-topic conversation, but this is why the death penalty or not death penalty is a huge conversation in the States, because there's people that believe you cannot take a life. It doesn't matter what they did. We're not God. It's not our choice. And there's people that believe, why should we house criminals like that? Mm-hmm. Why should we give them the rest of their life and pay for it when they've done something so unforgivable?
Yeah.
Murder Island. Murder We're not Island. Taking their life.
Yeah.
We're not playing God.
Yeah. This We're is also the, not paying for their existence.
This is the choice you made. This is the repercussion.
Because I personally, like, my belief on the death penalty isn't that I think I'm playing God and that we shouldn't do that, or that, you know, I personally believe that they should have to live in infamy for what they did.
Well, I think what you did should be done to you. Yeah, that's kind of my thought.
An eye for an eye.
But like, that doesn't really solve the problem. I think that's kind of the thought process of that.
Yeah.
And then it just creates a circle of, okay, so they got raped and then they're back on the street and then they're just angrier than ever.
Yeah.
So
they get raped and then they get sent to Murder Island.
I think they're going to get raped on Murder Island. I think the issue with this would then come to like wrongfully convicted people, because it's really hard to
decipher.
Right.
But I think there would have to be like a very strict system in place where like it's proven
100% beyond reason of a doubt
that
you're going to Murder Island because you deserve to go to Murder Island. People are like, this podcast took a fucking twist.
Yeah, we're talking about positivity and now we're talking about Murder Island.
I just got to thinking about it because I was thinking about, you know,
all the negative people,
how many bad people there are in the world, and like how many people don't believe in religion or manifestation and just live this life sucking.
Okay, so this is not on the same topic, but kind of on the same topic. I saw someone on TikTok saying that they think that all men should be born into prison. And they should have to work their way out.
Welcome to Bad Therapy Podcast.
Because like, for any of you out there that think that's an outlandish comment, you should read our comment section. Go take a gander through some of our viral videos and just read the things that men say to us. They've threatened to skin us alive, murder us.
Hit us with bricks.
Put muzzles on us. Hit us with bricks. It's actually like so violent and insane to me that people like that exist. And I think that they should be imprisoned. I've had men straight up say that they fucking hate women.
Yeah.
Like, hate them, despise them. They're attracted to them, but can't fucking stand them. That's scary. And that deserves prison. And I think that those men, because think about it, all the good men, they'd be out of prison by now. But they'd those men,
a couple of weeks, they're free.
Yeah, they're free. But those men, they're living life in prison.
I want to know who said that all men should be born into prison. I want to give me your number. Like,
right.
Obviously, we don't stand by that.
No, it was just a funny thing I heard. Okay, obviously.
There's a lot of really good men out there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of really bad ones, too. And I think the internet has just opened the portal for them to be.
Because in my day-to-day life, I don't experience people like that.
But that, you don't experience a serial killer until you're getting killed, too.
It's so true. And it's honestly just kind of frightening. Like, Madison and I were saying, should we be scared? Because some of the comments, I'm like, is someone literally going to, like, come to
find
our
us?
Door and find us? Like, because the comments they leave are fucking spooky. And I think to like hearing, you know, people that are on reality TV shows or celebrities talk about the death threats that they get, it's fucking scary. Like, what do you mean you're gonna kill me?
Well, and that's the thing, is I think a lot of them are just men running their mouths.
Right.
But it's like, how do you know who's going to, there's people in the world that are not like us. They don't, they get hooked on things. It's how people get stalkers.
Yeah.
This is how
it's like mental illness.
Yeah. And someone
who's
gonna
be like mentally something not right with you to say something like that, let alone like act on it. But like, just to say it, I feel like you have to have an issue.
And then to get maybe someone got triggered by something we said specifically, and not just us, like we're obviously very extremely low profile celebrities. I'm just fucking kidding.
We're literally Z-list.
We're obviously very low profile people. But I think about these people like Taylor Swift, for God's sake.
Right. But they have like money to have security.
Security. But then you never get to live your life. Like you can't go to the grocery store.
Oh, 100%. Being a celebrity sounds like ass.
And this is why we need Murder Island.
Literally Murder Island.
Just send them. I know that sounds fucking terrible.
But I don't think it sounds terrible.
And like, I would want to see, this is so, it's me getting worse. I want a documentary series
on Murder
Island. Of what goes on out there. Yeah. Because I think it would be really,
you know what would be great is if it was like we had like cameras where we could like just, oh, Channel 8, we could just watch live footage of Murder Island the whole time.
It would be really interesting to see people with those mindsets and that are capable of doing those things
interacting with
each other. I'm sure there's people that would thrive out there.
Yeah,
I mean, they would build an empire.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would have hundreds of people like in their, my brain, I've like been thinking about this.
Clearly you were a kid when you thought of this.
Yeah, I know, literally. I've
should
been
I
thinking,
call the cops?
Don't cancel me. I just, there's so many, you hear about so many terrible things happening, and I wonder how there's so many people that are capable of these things, because the people you meet on a day-to-day basis, they're not like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that they were.
But then you see these comments on the internet, a lot of them, and you're like, are there more people like this than I thought there were?
Like 100%. I feel like whenever our TikToks or Instagram reels get onto the male side of TikTok, which is clearly not our obvious audience.
It's not our demographic, okay?
Yeah, like we
we're talking
not,
about periods.
Yeah. We love our male listeners, and I've gotten a lot of comments from men that are receiving this well, but obviously the men that we are speaking of when we do talk about this shit are not the ones that we're trying to entice to come watch our podcast. We're the like, if you're mad, it's because we're fucking talking about
you. We're talking to you. If the shoe fits, wear it, ho.
But what's crazy is whenever our videos do trickle onto the wrong side of TikTok or Instagram, the comments are just, I can't believe it.
It's violent.
I have to log off. We actually made a pact that we're not allowed to comment back to people anymore.
How'd that pact go, Pilly?
Not very good. Madison sent me a screenshot literally today and said I'm snitching on myself.
I had to tell her.
Yeah.
And then I go and look at our comments and it was Herbie.
And it's me. It's so hard.
Damn it.
They make me so mad.
Because it's like, obviously you have a human reaction. We have to remember these people aren't, this is not something they would say to our face. It's not real, but it's hard, especially when you're very new to this kind of like lifestyle, when you're being flooded by negativity. I'm like, law of attraction here. I want positive.
Yeah.
I'm manifesting positive.
And especially it's like a newer account. We're like, okay, all publicity is good publicity. We've gotten to the point where if you're going to be negative, blocked.
Yeah, I know.
I don't give a fuck.
I know. I don't understand how some of these like Alex Cooper, Tana Mongeau, these girls have been
Mojo?
Mm-hmm. Dead serious?
100%
Tana Mongeau?
Tana Mongeau. You call her Tana Mongeau? Prison.
My whole life.
Oh my God.
Alex poor Cooper, Tana Mongeau, poor Tana. And the how they kind of originally came out on their podcast, which was pretty scantily and like good for you girls. Mm-hmm. But the men that must have been attacking these women, for I can't even imagine.
Yeah. But that's what, like, honestly, when I think about people like that, it's like, okay, we can do this because they're out there living in their fucking mansion in Beverly Hills.
Living their best life.
Fuck.
They've got security now.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, full circle, manifest your good wishes
and
Murder Island.
Yeah, let us know if you want to sign our petition to start Murder Island.
That's terrible, dude.
And we will see you guys back
next week,
our next podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 24.
Cheers.